What would it sound like? If all of the languages that the people heard when they heard the gospel told, some for the very first time heard the story of Jesus, when they heard that rushing wind of the Spirit interpreting this message in their own language, what if that was interpreted in their own musical language? And many songs and many expressions of this gospel in different rhythms and beats and nuances and changes. What if? Would you pray with me? Holy Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be receptive to Thee. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm grateful, as I've said earlier, to Marilyn and Brent and all of the choir and musicians today for this wonderful day. And why don't we actually thank them? Grateful for Dr. Brew's presence and her willingness to share a little time here in our sermon period as well. And I want to begin, Lorraine, with a question to you about the music that we've sung so far in this service. Tell us about it. What can we learn from it? How are we to think about it?
I hope you noticed some things as we sang through some of that music. We started with a Chinese hymn called Golden Breaks the Dawn. And it wasn't a normal opening hymn. It didn't make us want to stand up and cheer or shout. It was actually much more full of beauty in repose. And that's one of the things that Asian songs can bring to us, the sense of beauty in spareness, in something very simple. You'll notice we did have a Chinese flute, which gave you a little bit of the color of the Asian sound, which has some gliding to it, has some beautiful motion, and it's the attraction of the melody in that kind of music that we're supposed to be drawn to. It also kind of takes us out of the idea that we can be in a hurry here this morning. That hymn took a while to sing, even though there were only three stanzas, and part of what an Asian tune will often force us to do is to calm down a little bit, to take a deep breath, to take a little time, and let the cycles of the melody, which have a cyclic nature to them, they have a natural rise and then a fall in each stanza, and to let that cycle just take root in you for a little bit and to step out of our chronological sense of time. So I hope you felt it that way. Sometimes when you hear music like that the first time, it sounds kind of dull because the things that we're expecting to happen don't, and that's true. But there are other things happening there, and if you hear it again and get another opportunity, I would encourage you to listen for that. Then when we just sang just a little bit ago, Listen, God is Calling, we were singing an African song, which was very rhythmically driven. You heard that the drums were integrated into the song, and you also heard that the choir and you were interacting with the cantor, Brent, to sing back and forth in a way that sort of interlocked us and made us interdependent with one another. We couldn't sing the song without Brent leading us. He called us. This form of music is called call and response. And we couldn't respond until we had been called. That's a pretty good theological idea as well. But in this case, it's a musical form. And so we needed him in order to do our part. The drums were doing something different. I don't want to take the time to explain it to you, but it was actually rather complicated what they were doing, adding another piece of interdependence to us. And so here we were kind of shown an image that's very like the body of Christ, that we need one another, that we can't do a song by ourselves. And that's very true. In most music, we need one another in some way or another to complete the song. And certainly we need one another's gifts to complete the body of Christ. And then just a quick word about Cuando el Pobre that we just sang, When the Poor Ones Who Have Nothing. And here, one of the gifts of music from Latino and Hispanic cultures is the depth that many of the house churches in Central and South America have dived into liberation theology and connected God's call for justice for all people to our struggle as Christians together. And so there you saw some real struggling words for people who live under the weight of oppression and how we might walk together with them.
Thank you. I want to ask you about the gong that took us in and out of that first hymn. What are we to hear or learn in that?
Yeah, well, for one thing, for most of us, it signaled, whoa, something unusual is going on here, right? We're used to hearing an organ chord taking us into that first hymn. What we heard instead was the gong was announcing the cycles are beginning. And so the gong took us into the first cycle, and then at the end of each stanza, the gong let us know that we had completed a cycle and we're going to the next cycle. And then after the third stanza, if you were noticing, we finished singing, the flute finished playing, and then the gong played last, telling us the cycle has ended. We have finished that song. So the gong is the announcer of the cycles and where we are in those cycles.
So inside the music that we sing and hear, there's always a theology embedded. There's something that we're being taught that's not just in the words, that's in the music.
Absolutely,
too,
right? Absolutely. And much of it unconscious. You know, it's true in any Western classical hymn that we sing too, but because we're used to it and it's normative for us, we may not notice it. We notice the difference and then might also then notice some theological differences.
When you think about Scripture and the history of the tradition of the church, are there particular themes that you have drawn out in your own work that help us understand the significance of worldwide worship traditions from our own place?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have a lot to learn from others. And just thinking first about the Pentecost story this morning, it's interesting, isn't it, that everybody heard the disciples... heard the crowd them speaking each in their own language. So they heard God's name in the language that they knew, in the culture that they were aware of. When we sang Listen, God is Calling this morning, if we would have sung it in Swahili, we would have called God Bwana. When we sang When the Poor Ones, if we were singing in Spanish, we would have called God Señor. So just hearing those different ways of pronouncing God's name are, I think, a really important thing for us to recognize, that different people name God in different ways. We also have different ways of describing God through different images, Old Testament images of God as rock or fortress or a tree of life, might be brought out more in one culture than in another. So while we know all of those images, we North Americans would usually be limited to a set of ones that we're used to. Another culture might find a different image, one that they cling to more closely. And we, when we hear it then in another way, we might hear it anew for ourselves again.
Hmm. When you were just talking, that image of the tree just stood out to the tree of life. And it makes me wonder, even here we have so many different experiences and backgrounds and ethnicities or places and regions we've come from or international experience. Not everyone here is the same or has experienced the church in the same way. Mm-hmm. And yet we still seek a unity. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering how that balance between the trunk and the branches, how do we retain a sense of identity and familiarity while also having these branches that go off with leaves in many directions, seeking the sun in new ways? Mm-hmm. And how do we think about that balance?
I think that that image is helpful, and that there can be an unlimited number of leaves and branches on a tree, and the tree can still be very healthy. I think that when we look at cultural diversity, we can imagine as many cultures and languages as we can possibly imagine, and yet our unity comes not from the spreading of all that diversity, but our unity comes from Christ. And so that isn't damaged or weakened by the spreading of diversity, but actually perhaps enriched, that the more complex and the more diverse we get, it could be true, I think it is, that it's also the more unified we can become, as opposed to thinking that diversity spreads us out so far that we don't know where our root is anymore.
Thank you. You spend much of your time teaching young adults.
I do.
What do you learn from them about this, and how do you see, as you work with chapel choir and other students, as they learn about some of these traditions that you teach, what are they discovering, what are they learning, what are we learning from them?
Well, the surprise to me, maybe to you, I'm certainly is no surprise to Andrew and Paul and the other young people in the room. Young people are familiar with all of this style of music. They listen to world music, is what it's called, on the secular scene. They listen to world music just integrated with their other pop music, and it's no big deal. The surprise for college students is that you can do it in church. So they know the style. They know very easily how to get into this music because they know it from other venues. But what they find is that, oh, that's welcome in church? I didn't know that. I've only heard it in world music scenes.
Aren't we fortunate to have resources and skills and a spirit amongst us to be who we are and to reach out as far as we can reach in this, and the joy that this brings. Also discomfort. There's no question that there's a comfort in the familiar. We also recognize that what's familiar to one is not necessarily familiar to another, right? Is there any congregation in our land in which everyone knows all of the hymns? Probably not.
No, there are only a few hymns that everyone knows anymore.
But we're so grateful for your presence here. Thanks. And shall we pray together? Can we pray together? God, you are the God of all people through all time. So teach us what this means. Teach us by word and by action. Teach us in music and liturgy. Teach us in friendship and mission. Teach us in all the ways that you would have us learn how to be ourselves, how to know ourselves in relationship to others, how to welcome strangers, how to experience a foretaste of the great feast that you have prepared for all people through all time. Bless you for this gracious message we know in Christ. Amen.